about this afternoon a little bit. But it's God that does the drawing. And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so you can see that the new birth is a sign, it's a seal, it's an assurance, it's all those things. But it's also a comforter. It's the comforter because it will give you comfort when all the things around you go astray, go awry. Everything in the world seems to be falling apart. Your kids are stressing you out. Maybe your home life is stressing you out, your job and everything. But it's a comfort to you because you know that God is abiding with you and he's with you. And he promised that he would see you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be with you. I will fear no evil because God is with you. He's comforting you. The comfort is that God has given you a revelation, and that is your comfort. There is no comfort outside of the Word of God. When you take your Bible and you open it up and you realize that you can see your name written in the pages of the Scripture, and that you know that God, you were written in Him before the foundation of the world, what greater comfort could there be than that? When all the world begins to fall apart, and you can look back into the Scripture and know that you were with God before the foundation of the world, in His mind, that He thought of you, that He knew of you, that is the greatest comfort that I could ever think of, that I could ever imagine. And He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. See, He's not just sending some other thing, but it's Himself, His own life, coming in to dwell inside of you, coming to dwell inside of the believer. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Who is that Spirit then? What is the Holy Ghost? It's Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. The Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit. And when the Comforter has come, He will do the same things that I've done while the Comforter is in me. I'll pray the Father and He'll give you this Comforter. You know the Comforter. The world don't know Him, never will. But you know Him because He dwells now with you. And how do you know it? How do you know it? Because He has revealed Himself to you. He's made Himself known to you. He's opened up the Word to you. And He's speaking to you in a spiritual way. A way that the world cannot understand. Because He's speaking words of comfort and affirmation to you. Just like He spoke to Moses at the burning bush. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here's another thing that the Holy Ghost is. My little children, in 1 John chapter 2, He says, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Don't sin, but this is where it gets beautiful. And if any man sin, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So when you do make mistakes, remember that story that Brother Man talked about, how he was looking, judging at that woman sitting in that at that bar with those two men, and he was sitting there, look at that. And God took him over. He said, come over here. I want to talk to you for a minute. And He took him over behind the door. And they began to show him how there was a bumper of blood all around the earth. And every time that Brother Branham would do anything wrong, that God would kill him except for that bumper of blood. And it would just bounce right off of that. Because what the Holy Ghost is, it is an advocate with the Father. An advocate is like an attorney that speaks upon your behalf. And if the attorney is the same one that's sitting behind the judgment seat, you can't lose. Man, that ought to make anybody emotional. You can't lose. See, we get all tossed about because we make mistakes and we do things wrong. Goodness gracious. Y'all bear with me. I'm going to finish up here in a minute. So He says, you sin not, don't sin. But if you do sin, you've got somebody down on the inside. You've got that blood covering to represent you. Because, and Jesus Christ is on the inside representing you back to the Father, saying He didn't mean to do it. He got deceived into that. He got pulled off into that. And God is there to be an advocate to you, to be a propitiation for your sins. And the propitiation is that he already died on the cross. He died on the cross so that you don't have to. He died on the cross so that you don't have to go to hell. He is the propitiation. He's the one that already paid the price for you. He already paid everything for you. And when you do anything wrong, God is looking at that. He's looking at that judgment already paid, like that brass serpent, instead of what you've done. He's not even looking at you. Like Brother Evan said, all that he hears is your voice crying out to the Father for forgiveness. He doesn't even see you through the blood. All he does, he just hears your voice crying out to him. What is the Holy Ghost? It's an advocate. What is an advocator? What does it do? It makes an advocate. It has mercy. It stands in your place. It does things that you can't do. Because you can't advocate yourself. You can't represent yourself, but He can represent you. He can be your lawyer, your attorney. It's a propitiation for your sins. It's your righteousness. It's your healing. It's your life. It's your resurrection. It's all that God has for you. He's an advocate. How we could go into details with that and break that down of how it makes intercession for our ignorance. Sometimes we got the Holy Ghost, we ignorantly stagger into something. The Holy Spirit is there to make advocate for us. He is our advocator. He stands, He's our attorney. He stands there and pleads for us. We don't plead for ourselves because the Holy Ghost in us pleads for us. The Holy Ghost giving utterance sometimes with words you can't understand. And He makes intercessions for us. That's what the Holy Ghost is. That's what, listen, sometimes you get down and you begin to pray and you begin to call out to God and you come to a place where something within you begins to do the speaking on your behalf. Like Paul said, making utterance and groanings that you don't even realize what's being said. Like that time that Brother Ram said he began to pray and he heard somebody speaking and he thought it was a German out in the hall or somebody speaking in another language. But it turned out that it was his own voice calling out for that little sister that was in trouble. It was the Holy Ghost in him crying out for somebody. The Holy Ghost, when he's in you, he begins to cry out. Listen, when the Holy Ghost begins to call out for your family, and it's not you, something will begin to happen. It's the Holy Ghost that's an advocator for you. It's the Holy Ghost that's an advocator for your church, for your family. And that's why the Holy Ghost is the most important thing. If it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, then we'd just be coming to church out of vanity, out of just coming to church just to be here. We need the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to end right there. I went through the sermons that Brother Brown. Can you turn it on?
Spider.
We don't want to know those spiders. Let me get this so that y'all can see real good. Can everybody see that?
Thank you very much. That's good.
I was going through all the sermons that Brother Brown preached on what is the Holy Ghost and why was it given for and everything with my kids as we just kind of get together in the evenings and whatnot, and they really enjoyed it and it helped them. So I just kind of wanted to do a little exercise, a little background, and kind of go through some things that Brother Brown said about what the Holy Ghost is for us.
Hey, brother, can we come to your house when you do this?
Just take the camera home with you. Yeah.
What time is supper? I'm not worried about supper. I
want to
hear this supper, yes.
Well, that's why we come to church. But y'all just remember Brother Wade and them and all the special needs and everything. Remember Brother Claude especially.
Yes.
I don't know if y'all heard about him, but he's going into them.
Well, they're not preachers.
Yes, my sister was just saying.
What happened to Brother Claude?
So that, I guess they took him into the hospital and Saturday,
I don't know if he had chest pains or what, but they took him ambulatory to the hospital, and it was cardiac, and they did a heart cath Saturday afternoon and put a stent in. He had a pretty good problem.
Well, he's good.
But he's good. Yes, he's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Claude Weisinger. Oklahoma.
Yeah, so just remember him. In fact, let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Yes,
Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word, Lord Jesus, once again. And we pray, Lord God, that you'll give special grace to Brother Luis this morning as he's preparing to bring the word of the Lord. God, grant, and I pray, Lord, that you'll give him power, Lord Jesus, to speak whatever you lay upon his heart, Lord, not to hold back this morning, but just lay it out there for us, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll just be with all of us today, Lord. Remember Brother Claude and Brother Wade and all the situation up there, Lord, where they are, Lord, all the different needs of the people, Lord Jesus. And be with us, Lord God, because, Lord, we know that you made us a needy people, Lord, that we hunger and cry for you, Lord Jesus, and we need so many things from you, Lord. And you're here and able to deliver us and give us everything that we have need of, Lord. Grant it, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord Jesus, that you'll open it up to us, Lord God, and cause us to see more about who we are and who you are and the place and the hour that you've made for us to manifest your word today, Lord. Grant it, Lord Jesus, that you'll be with us all today during the service as we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now, what is the Holy Ghost? Of course, you know, as you kind of look into some things that Brother Branham said about what the Holy Ghost is, you realize that if it was not for the Holy Ghost, then we would just be coming together to just kind of gather around. Like down in Atlanta, they've got this big Christian Science building, this big monolith. And I was walking over there to kind of get something to eat the other day, and I saw they had a big sign that said Christian Science Reading Room. And you see, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, we would just kind of be going together to have like a reading room and just kind of have just to read some quotes and just to kind of read. I have an understanding just from our intellectual standpoint of what like maybe a good way to live and everything is. But the gospel is about more than just kind of a good moral system and just kind of following people and just kind of coming to church and gathering together and being nice, good citizens. It's more than that. And what makes it different, What makes it what it is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the life of God actually moving in the church, moving in His people. It's the life of God Himself. And you think about what kind of grace it is for the God of glory, the God of creation that created everything that we can see, everything that is, that spoke the worlds into existence, to be able to come down and abide in our flesh, to be able to live in us and allow us to take part in preaching the gospel and witnessing to others and in the whole plan of redemption. And so the Holy Ghost is the most important thing that there is. It's more important than choosing a spouse. It's more important than choosing a job. It's more important than your job. It's more important than all the earthly pleasures, all the things that makes us happy. It's the most critical, most important thing that there is. And so I believe that we should, if there's any doubt in your mind, any doubt at all, that whether you have the Holy Ghost or not, you should lay aside everything else and dig into the Word, just lay aside everything else until you're assured that you have the Holy Ghost. Because I believe that you can know whether you have the Holy Ghost. You know, I've heard this growing up, you know, different ministers and whatnot, they get up and talk about how that the devil comes and battles them about whether they've got the Holy Ghost or not. And, you know, I believe that's true. The devil can come and battle you and put all kind of thoughts and things in your mind. But if the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a personal revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you, then God can reveal to you, He will reveal to you whether or not you have it or not. And He can make it so real to you that it's something that is like a rock that your whole life is grounded on, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you are sealed away, that it's a sign to you, it's a sign to others, you've been sealed away, you've been a sign sealed and delivered. And there's nothing in the whole world can take that away from you. When God gives you a revelation, He can take, somebody might be able to take away an emotion from you, or might take away some kind of little feeling, or maybe you even seen the pillar of fire or something. Somebody can maybe reason that away from you. But if God gives you a personal revelation of who He is, nobody can, the gates of hell can't prevail against that. So let's like Brother Wade said, I don't want to get to preaching.
It's good. Preach on.
Can y'all see that okay? And he says, now I want to talk on it as the Holy Spirit being assigned. So Brother Branham in the message, what is the Holy Ghost? He goes through all the different things that the Holy Ghost is. And he just names them out by one by one. And the next message, he talks about why was it given for. So let's just take some of these things and talk about them. As the Holy Spirit being assigned, for it is a sign, we realize that all promises is given to us. By Abraham was the father of the promise, because God gave the promise to Abraham and to his seed after him. The promise was made to Abraham and to his seed. And this sign is to a covenant people. Now there is a vast difference between just a Christian and a Holy Ghost filled Christian. And now we're going to get this from the scripture and place it just exactly in the scripture. The first place there is a Christian professed to be a Christian. But if this Christian has not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, he's only in process of being a Christian. See? He has professed to believe it. He's working to it. But God has not yet given him this spirit of the Holy Ghost. He's not yet reached that goal with God that God has recognized it. And now you see, that's what Brother Dale has been talking about, that there's a process that you work through by grace through faith are you saved. Because the Holy Ghost, what it is the Holy Ghost is drawing you through this process. And there is an actual point where you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. As you go through this process. And the process begins with justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then it doesn't end at that. It just keeps growing and growing. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as the revelation just keeps unfolding. And as it keeps unfolding, it keeps sealing in. It seals in virtue, and it seals in knowledge and temperance, until you come up all the way, getting a little bit deeper maybe than I intended to, but you come up all the way to receiving the message for your day, which brings you back to the true token, the baptism of the Holy Ghost according to Malachi 4:5-6, which is a capstone baptism, taking you all the way back until God has completely taken over your being, which we'll see. Brother Branham gets into this. He gets into this, and toward the end of the message, he starts talking about how the baptism of the Holy Ghost was given to completely take over the being so that God can have complete preeminence in you. But it's a process that you have to go through. And he said the circumcision is a type of the Holy Ghost. And God gave Abraham the circumcision sign after he had accepted God on his promise and walked out into a strange country. See, it was a sign. And all his children and his seed after him should have this sign in their flesh, because it was a distinction. It was to separate them from all other peoples, this sign of circumcision. And that's what God uses today. It's the sign of circumcision of the heart, the Holy Spirit, that makes God's church a separated church from all other creeds, faiths, and denominations. Now this is where it gets real good. See, because in the Old Testament, the sign was in your flesh, in the man's flesh. And in the New Testament, the sign is in the man's heart. And it's in the heart, but it works its way outward. So you can see it's a sign to you, but to others it's also a sign, because people can look at you and you are a sign to them. You're like the Bible says that be salty. Don't lose the be salty to one another. When somebody sees you, it sees your life, that sign being manifest. You're so salty that it makes them thirsty to have the same thing that you do. And becomes a sign to others that they know that there is a living God, because of the patience that you have, of the temperance that you have, of the virtue that when they talk to you, strength flows out from you and they're able to receive strength and help. And you don't just talk negative about everything, that you speak of faith and you're able to help people along their Christian journey. And it becomes a sign. And that's why Brother Irvin said, you let me talk to a man 2 minutes, I can tell you whether he's received the Holy Ghost or not. So can you. My goodness, what a statement. And what way, Brother Branham, can you tell that somebody has received the Holy Ghost? How can you tell? Now, he doesn't spell this out, so if you want to give me some grace, I'm just going to tell my revelation. But if the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a personal revelation to you, then that revelation will work its way out. And so you, the way that you tell if somebody has the Holy Ghost or not is give it the word test, like Brother Brown said. You lay the word up, that measuring stick, like Zerubbabel's measuring line up to it. And if the revelation that they have does not compare with the revelation of Scripture, if they say, well, God is not still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God still cannot heal. And all the line up, all the word, then you know something's wrong. But you talk to somebody, and out from their belly, out from them comes a wellspring of everlasting life, and the faith that they have bears record with the same with the word that's written on the page, and it matches up perfectly. Then you know that something has taken place in that believer's life. I can tell you whether he's received the Holy Ghost or not. So can you. It separates them. It's a mark. It's a sign, and the Holy Spirit is a sign. I was stressing this to my kids. You can see. If you talk to somebody and they say, well, I know that I have the Holy Ghost because one night I got in the Spirit and I felt a great big sensation, which, I'm going to be real honest. We were watching videos of these little children testifying after they went to a certain camp that I'm not going to name. And just about every one of them, they got up and they said, well, I know that something happened to me because I felt it. I know that something happened to me because I felt a sensation. I know I was in the atmosphere. I was in the atmosphere of just a lot of jumping around and a lot of things. You know, Paul said, bodily exercise profiteth little. And Brother Branham said, the meaning of that bodily exercise profiteth little was that just hopping around and everything doesn't necessarily profit that much. It's good and everything, but what will profit you is to have a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. And that's how you know that you have been born again, because God has revealed it to you. And see, a revelation is different. It's different than just an intellectual understanding. It's different than the intellectual understanding that St. Augustine had, where he studied the Scriptures until he thought all of a sudden, well, if they won't believe it, I'll just force them to believe it and begin to kill them. Don't his intellectual understanding. It's different than people that just kind of go to a seminary and everything, and they get an idea that you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, those three, that they don't have a revelation of what that is. And that, so they just kind of stay stuck on that there's three different gods. But a revelation is God himself revealing him to you, and that is what you can base everything on. I feel like we need to just keep hammering that, because it's almost something that you can explain to people, but then when God really reveals himself to you, then you almost have an aha moment. You look back and say, oh, that's what those ministers were talking about. That's what had been preached for all these years. And maybe this morning you might look back to your own life and realize the day that God began to call you, began to deal with you, he's revealing himself through justification. He's dealing with you through sanctification. Because you can't sanctify yourself. It's the God moving upon his word, moving upon it, ministering his word to you to produce a sanctified life in you. And then he comes and puts his own soul inside of you, and it becomes a revelation because the revealer is now inside of you. And he's teaching your word. He's teaching you the word. He's bringing the word that you've read, that you've heard, to your remembrance, and he's tying it all together so you can have a perfect understanding of it, and then it will produce works in your life. It will produce the actual life of Christ in you. And that's what he said here in paragraph 44. He said, and when you are circumcised of the Holy Ghost, it does the same thing to you. It makes you do things that you didn't think you would do. It makes you take God's promise and believe God. And so there's the evidence. It makes you believe God. When you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you cannot help but believe God, because the believer is inside of you. That's Galatians 2:20. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, because he is inside of you doing the believing. He is inside of you. It's his faith doing the work. And I think that's another thing that so many of us stumble over. We think, I've got to let go of this problem that I have. I've got to let go of all these things. I've got to, you know, really struggle and everything. But it's not you doing it. It's Christ doing it inside of you. It's Christ living on the inside of you. It's him doing it. And all you do is you just let go. You just open the door and allow him to come in. And the only way that you can open the door is not by your own ideas, but taking God at his word and believing him. And so that's why it's so important to get into the Bible and get into the message and find out what he really said. find out what the Holy Ghost really is, get to church, have somebody preach the true baptism of the Holy Ghost from the pulpit. Because if it's not taught correctly, how can you get born again? If you don't know what it is, then how can you be born again? If you think it's just emotion and things, then that's what you'll be seeking. If you think it's just looking at lights or whatever, or just maybe even looking at a man. I know that I'm born again, somebody might say, because my pastor is born again. Or I know that I'm born again because my husband is born again. That's not the way that the gospel works. You must be born again for yourself. You must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost for yourself. And so I want to clarify too that when I say the baptism of the Holy Ghost is part of this lesson, I'm talking about the new birth. Because you can, Brother Bradley said, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. And that confuses people also. What do you mean that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on your spirit? You can have an anointing. And that's what you see so many times. That, you know, you can have an anointing on your spirit, and a preacher can. And down from their soul, they're not converted. The revealer is not down on the inside of their soul. And so when they get up behind the pulpit, they're preaching. They're saying things a little bit off. They're saying things, taking you to another God, taking you to something that's not quite right. Because they have an anointing. It's the genuine anointing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost on their spirit, anointing their life like Judas to cast out devils, to preach, and to do all those things. But down on the inside, something has not been converted. And you know, you can tell. When you get the new birth down on the inside of your soul, there's a difference between the anointing on your spirit and that gene, that germ seed coming to life in your soul. There's a difference. Now notice, but in this, the Holy Ghost is a sign. I mean, and the Holy Ghost is a seal. So he talks about it's a sign, and it's also a seal. It's a sign that God gave to His chosen children. To reject it is to be cut from the people, and to receive it is to be finished with the world and all the things of the world, and to be a product that God has put a seal of approval on. So the seal means that He has accepted your faith. You believe, you say. See, it's not the moment that you believe, but have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Because you believe, you keep believing, and then He comes and says, yes, that is genuine faith. And genuine faith is based upon the Word of God, not just upon man's ideas. But when you come to a place where you genuinely believe, and God comes and inspects it and looks you over and says, yep, now the redemption, the part of this little redemption process, like for your soul, is complete. And He comes and baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. He comes and seals off. And so that's why, as you keep growing up, He's sealing you off. He's inspecting you to see, are you shaking a little bit loose in your patience? And He comes and seals that off. He says, yep, this person is patience. It's patient. He keeps sealing you off. You've got godliness. Inspects you. Gives you a little bit of trials and everything. I was reading how Brother Bram said that he let Jesus just live for 30 years. And then all of a sudden, it came time for 3 years of really hard trials. And at the end of that really hard 3 years of trials, preaching and everything, all just constantly being hammered by the devil, constantly people challenge him and all those things. Then he can seal off his whole life on Mount Transfiguration. And see, that's the same thing that he does with you. He's inspecting you constantly. He's inspecting you to see if you have these virtues in, and to see if that real faith is made manifest in your life, to see what's there. And then he seals it and is sealed until the day of your redemption, until the day that the whole process is completed. That's what's the matter. We don't get sealed so much. We're too loose about things. When the inspector goes through to inspect your life to see if you're not just a little loose about things, a little loose about your prayer life, a little loose about that temper, a little loose about that tongue to talk about others, he'll never seal the car. He's talking about that box car that he has to be inspected to make sure everything is tight and fastened down. And then he puts the seal that cannot be broken until it reaches its destination on that box car. Some dirty habit, some vile thing, some vulgarity mind, he can't seal the car. But when he's found everything in its place, the inspector then he seals it. Dare be anybody open that seal until that car has reached its destination to where it's sealed for. There it is. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. For I say unto you, it will be better for you. And it goes on. But see, a seal, the Holy Ghost is a sign to you and to the world that you have been redeemed, and as a seal that everything that has been required, you have met all of God's requirements, and the requirement is that you believe God's word. And when you believe God's word, He comes and seals it. And that's why this token of the true baptism of the Holy Ghost could not come until this day that requires full obedience to the word. Full obedience to the word. How could that come until this day when we have all the word? When you have all the word, then God can come and seal up your life because you have obeyed every. You come to full obedience to all of the word, and God seals your complete life. Amen. Does this make sense? Everybody good? Everybody okay? And this is really good. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's your assurance. It's your protection. It's your witness. It's your seal. It's your sign. Isn't that wonderful to have an assurance? To have an assurance that God has paid the price for you, you've accepted it, and He's given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a sign that He's accepted it. As a sign that He's accepted you. That it's your assurance that the price has been paid. It's your token that you can wave at the gate and say, I got a pass. I got a free pass that I can go through because the price has already been paid and I know it. You see why it's a revelation? Because when it's revealed to you, it's revealed to you that you have an assurance. It's your protection. It's your protection against the devil and all the things that the devil can throw against you. And it's your witness. It's your seal. That I'm heaven bound. Don't care what the devil says, I'm heaven bound. Why? He sealed me. He gave it to me. He sealed me in His kingdom and I'm glory bound. Let the winds blow. Let Satan do what he wants to. God has done sealed me till the day of my redemption. I like preaching the Holy Ghost that you can know that you got it or not. That always bothered me when I was growing up to hear people say, well, you know, sometimes the devil will mess with you. The devil will mess with you. He'll mess with you about your healing and everything. He'll try to get you to disbelieve. That's the devil's job, is to poke at you and prod at you and try to get you to doubt God's word. But if you've got the Holy Ghost, if you've got the revelation of Jesus Christ inside of you, then that is the thing that God has given you to withstand every fiery dart of the wicked one. That is the thing that God has given you, a rock down on the inside that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And so I believe that when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God will reveal to you that you got it. Now the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, what is the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit of Christ in you. Now before we read, I'd just like to say a few commenting words here. What is the Holy Ghost? It's a seal, it's a covenant, it's a sign. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you. See, a little while, said Jesus, and the world sees me no more, yet ye shall see me. For I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Ye shall see me, because why? When you come, like in the Old Testament, it says every donkey or whatever that came forth through the matrix must be redeemed by a lamb. When you come forth through that spiritual matrix, your eyes become open to a new world, and you begin to behold like a child coming forth for the first time. You begin to look at the Father. You see the Father, and you begin to realize that you did not come from your earthly mother and father. But you came from above. You were born from above. And that's why it says, you, the world does not see Him anymore. But when you're born again, your eyes become open. But listen, that's why a lot of times when you begin to talk to somebody that is not born again, the discussion almost becomes an argument. And you have to watch yourselves because they cannot see what you can see. They can't see. They're not beholding the Father's face with spiritual eyes. Because listen, when you get the new birth, you have like the eye of your soul that is looking to a realm beyond the things that you can see with your natural eyes. You're looking to the unseen. You're looking with eyes of faith to see things that you cannot see with a natural eye. That's what the new birth is. When we say it's a revelation, it's almost more than that word can even explain. More than you can even comprehend just from that bottling up in that little word revelation. Because a revelation, it means that when you are born again, you can see like Gehazi did when Elijah said, God, I pray that you'll open up his eyes. And he looked around and all the angels were gathered around. It's like you begin, that's what Brother Ram said, when the seals begin to open up, when the Word begins to open up to you, you can look into the Bible with new eyes and see things that you never saw before because it's God revealing it to you. And it's so different than an intellectual. Revelation is not an intellectual understanding. So you have to, sure, you have to understand, you have to receive it in your brain. You have to read it for yourself. But when God reveals it to you, it elevates it beyond just something that you understand with your carnal mind. It becomes a spiritual knowledge to you that nobody can take away. Then Jesus said to them again in John chapter 20, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And then Brother Ramsey said, explains that. He said, "The Jesus that sends you goes with you and is in you. And if that Spirit living in Jesus Christ made him do and act the way he did, you'll have some general idea of how it'll do when it's in you. Because that life cannot change. It'll go from body to body, but it cannot change its nature, for it is God." And see, God sends you and I the same way that He sent Himself. He didn't send somebody else to go die on the cross. He came Himself. He put His own life in the life of Jesus Christ and walked to that cross Himself. That was God Almighty in that man that died on the cross. And the same way that He sends you and I to preach the gospel, to minister to others, to be a help to others, is He puts His life inside of you and He goes Himself. And that's how He sends. That's how He sends. Excuse me. And when He goes and lives inside of a believer, it'll make the believer act the same way that it did when he was in Jesus Christ. That's how you know what the Holy Ghost is. John chapter 14, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He that believeth on me," and Brother Ram kept explaining that, "he that believeth," that continues in that process of believing, from justification, sanctification, to new birth, coming in and making you a little babe in Christ, and continuing on, believeth on me. And if somebody, you know, falls away, it's proof that they never even started their journey correctly. Because once you start that journey correctly, it's God moving you and calling you and drawing you up. And if it's God doing it, He will see you to the end. "But whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Let's talk about that for a little. In my name, what is that? A name represents the characteristics of that thing. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve in the garden, when he began to put a name to things, he put a name to a parrot because it mocked something else. It would just repeat other words. He put a name to a sheep, but it's a sheep because it bore wool and it had the nature of a lamb. But when God came and put His name on Himself, the name of Jesus Christ represents the nature and the characteristics of God Himself were in that person. And so when you become a Christian, when you take on the name of Jesus Christ, that means the life of that person, the characteristics that make up that person, is now living inside of you. And so if you ask anything in my name, in the name, because you're baptized into Him, you're part of His life. The characteristics of that person are now manifesting themselves in you. And if you ask in His name, upon a revelation of who that person is, I will do it. Because you're not asking based upon your own desires. You're not asking based upon some kind of mental understanding or anything like that. But you're asking based upon God's Word that you know that He promised it. That, and then you can ask for your kids. Because you know that the promises, that as many as are far off, you can ask it believing. You can ask believing and calling out to God that He will come and draw your children just like He drew you. Amen. Amen. We'll get on what I'm going to talk